This is The Pulse. I'm Bharati Jagdish. Now today, the Ben Davis saga. What warrants a national service deferment? And should the conditions for deferments be reviewed? Now when news emerged that 17-year-old midfielder Ben Davis signed a two-year contract with newly promoted Premier League club Fulham, Singaporeans seemed excited. Well, after all, he is the first Singaporean to ink a professional contract with a top-tier English club. However, it then emerged that the Ministry of Defence has rejected his application to defer his national service enlistment. Later, the ministry said that in the application process, Ben's father would not commit to a date on when his son intended to return and serve. He had also publicly stated that he would encourage his son to renounce his citizenship in order to pursue his career. Of course, his father then responded by saying that it's unfortunate that MINDEF had this impression. He actually said if Ben doesn't get a renewed contract or new contract by 2020, then he should return. Now, more than anything else, though, this case has ignited a debate over the criteria for NS deferments and even disruptions. Joining me to talk about this today are MP and Chairperson of the Government Parliamentary Committee for Defence, Vikram Nair, and Chief Editor of Digital News at Channel News Asia, Jamie Ho. Jamie, first of all, some of the public reactions that we've been seeing on our online platforms since this news broke.
Yeah, it's been a bit crazy, to be honest. And like most things, social media these days, the reactions very quickly, I think, became quite polarized, quite strongly polarized, in fact. And I think at the end of the day, quite unhelpfully polarized. So obviously, you've got one group of people who are very strongly supportive of Ben, then another group of people who are actually very much stronger in saying, you know, suck it up, do your NS, everyone else has done it. You know, if you look at what people are saying, minus the emotion, I think everyone has some degree of credibility in the arguments that they're making. But my point is, I think because there's so much emotiveness in this, because there's so much, to be honest, lack of information, lack of clarity on the specifics of Ben's case.
Yeah, because I think, as the days wear on, we're seeing new details emerge.
And people are throwing in a little bit of their own take on publicly available information and not so publicly available information. So I think it's probably not helpful to go too much into the specifics of the case, but rather let's take this opportunity to take a step back and look at, okay, I think a proper debate probably could be had about, let's look at the deferment criteria specifically, and whether this is an opportunity for us to just have a debate about that. Let's not allow ourselves to get into the specifics of the Ben Davis case just yet. In time to come, information will appear, and then let's make that judgment at that point in time.
Vikram, your impressions of the public responses so far?
Well, I think I agree with Jamie. It's you know, there's obviously a lot of people who have sympathy for Ben Davis, saying this is a young man who's gotten an opportunity to play for a Premier League club. It's a big opportunity, and he should be allowed to pursue that dream. On the other hand, of course, many Singaporeans, they rightly also believe, as a matter of principle, that national service is a duty we all have to serve. Exceptions can be made in specific cases, but there must be a commitment to doing national service. You know, it's one of the obligations every citizen has to have, and it's not quite right to say, look, if you make me do national service, I'm going to renounce my citizenship. I think that got a lot of people very angry.
See, the Ministry of Defence said that in sports, deferments are granted only to those who represent Singapore in international competitions, like the Olympic Games, and are potential medal winners for Singapore. So it seems like a narrow criteria. Yes. And if a person is deemed to be applying for deferment to pursue their personal interests, it isn't usually granted. It isn't granted according to MINDEF. However, some could say that in the case of people like Joseph Schooling, for instance, the only difference there is that his personal pursuits were aligned with national interests. Mm. It's not like, you know, he's making a huge sacrifice for the country. So again, that question of criteria, is this fair criteria? Something that Jamie said we need to discuss further.
Yeah.
So where do you stand on this? How much clarity do we really need? Should there
exactly
be a shift?
Yeah, I totally think, for example, I'll read out what I think are the key words in the criteria, right, that has been quoted quite often in the last couple of weeks. So as you say, one of the key things is granted only to those who represent Singapore. Okay, and if we underline and bold the word represent, this therefore implies that it has to be in a sport that you represent your national colours, in your national colours, right? So in effect, does this therefore take away all the other sports where you may not have the chance to represent Singapore in the national colours of that particular sport. Therefore, again, as some people have said, what does this mean for specific team sports? Yeah. Is there a slight bias towards individual sports versus team sports, right? You may be very, very good at a particular sport, but never represent the national colours, right? The next word that I would suggest needs a bit of clarification is, again, potential medal winners for Singapore, right? You have to do it for Singapore in national colours. So even if Ben Davis in 20 years' time, or for now, let's say he gets a trial with Barcelona or Man United, he's never going to win a medal for Singapore. He's going to win a medal for Barcelona or Man United. Yes. Now, what does that mean? Is the understanding of the criteria so clear that it takes that away off the table? And finally, a last point, which I think was also made by Minister Ng in Parliament a couple of years ago when he was talking about this exact issue of NS deferment, he raised all these criteria and he also says international competitions like the Olympic Games and bring national pride for the country. I think that's again another issue which people then have said, you know, if you use that criteria, bring national pride for the country, that's precisely what Ben Davis is going to do.
It should apply to him.
Exactly. Yeah, to so that again, once you have all these things and once you have terms like the Olympic Games, it's not as clear as you would like for specific policies. Esports, for example, one day, it could be just like the Olympic Games, but not like the Olympic Games.
The equivalent
Not. So yeah. Is the big international version of esports of Olympic Games going to be worthy one day, you know? So I think it's probably time to have that debate on what exactly these terms are.
Vikram, where do you stand on this clarity issue where there needs to be better definitions and explanations of these definitions as well?
Well, you see, I think some matters are left discretionary, and I think discretion is there because perceptions evolve, right? I mean, for example, what is a sport that brings pride to the country? I mean, this is something that may evolve over time. I think what has been clarified here, certainly after this saga erupted, was that the first two criteria are in fact almost threshold criterion, right? You have to represent the country and you have to have a chance of winning a medal, which is why the deferments are very few and far between, right? But for many national athletes, even where they are not necessarily, you know, going to win a medal for the country, I think exceptions were made to allow them to play for the country. And I think, you know, Fundy's two sons, Irfan and Ixay, were good examples of that. They both took time off to play for the country, served their national service, and, you know, now are ready to carry on with their professional careers if they so wish. So I think, you know, if you're looking at a long-term career as an athlete, it's important for you to plan also when you plan to do national service, because deferment is just that. It's deferment, right? There must be a window in which you actually plan to do it. So even for the athletes that are representing Singapore, the deferment is for a very specific period, right? So in Joseph Schooling's case, for example, it's until the next Olympics. That's the deferment. So there's a target in mind. There's a national or international competition in mind. Clear window, clear time frame. And he's got to plan his national service around his athletic pursuits.
You mentioned discretion, but yes. I think a lot of families would say it would help if things were just made clear from the get-go so that we can plan our children's careers and our children can plan their careers as well.
Yeah, I think the public statements are relatively clear. The deferments are few and far between. I think for sports, the only three who've gotten it have really been with the time frame of a specific international competition in mind. So in that sense, you know, it's a consistent policy. Whereas I guess, you know, in Ben's case, it's not clear exactly whether he's getting a deferment to, you know, represent Singapore, say, in the next, you know, Asian Games or specific competition, right? It seems to be open-ended because I want to play for a football club, which is a lot more difficult, right? Because if he has a long, successful career, which we all wish him, then how long is this deferment going to be?
Had the family given the ministry an idea of when Ben would return, would it have made any difference considering the current criteria for deferments in sports?
Well, looking at the current criterion, I think it may have helped if it was pegged to a certain, you know, international competition, for example, and if it was felt that the Singapore team could do well or bring a medal at that competition, that may have helped. I mean, this is just me as an outsider giving suggestions. I don't exactly know what representations were made to the ministry, but certainly I don't think it can be pegged to, you know, my professional contract with a football club.
You know, some people have pointed out that all we really need is a framework within national service that allows individuals to still train and not lose touch completely. Yes. With the sport.
I think they do. I think there is.
And there is, yes. Yeah, to some extent, there is.
Precisely. But again, these are frameworks for very specific sports, not all sports might fall into it. And again, if you are great at one sport that is not as popular or does not have as big a national infrastructure for you to do it, then you are slightly disadvantaged. I think that's the fact.
Yeah.
But also you can't discount the fact that, you know, when opportunity knocks, you might just want to take it, you know, in spite of the fact that there might be a framework within National Service that allows you to train.
Yeah. So I think going back to then the criteria, I think the unfortunate thing about criteria these days is that it's often seen as more a negative list kind of thing. That you must, if you don't meet this, you're not going to get it, right? But I think there probably should be a change in mindset to look at it as a sort of a positive listing kind of thing, that you list out certain things as clearly as, or as in as much detail as you possibly can. So that, as you say, Bharati, so that parents, when they are thinking of their children, when they're looking at how their children evolve, they know what landmarks and sort of key points that the children have to make, right, in order to reach a point where, if they're at that age to go into NS, they say, actually, we have met all the criteria. So, for example, if it's very clearly you need to represent Singapore, then you know at which age groups you need to make sure your kid is meeting the criteria to meet under 12s, under 14, under 16, under 18, so that you can say, look, he has represented Singapore in all these age groups. So once you have that in place, it probably does a little bit better. It doesn't solve the problem of having parents then at that point in time, like Ben Davis, it will be crystal clear whether you have or you have not met the criteria.
The thing is, while we're talking about clarity, there are other people asking, oh, why is it that disruptions for medical students are so easily given and things like that? How would you explain that, Vikram?
So for medical students, that's actually because there is a clear need for doctors in the army. And the best way to get a large number of doctors is to have your national servicemen serve. So in the case of medical students, they serve the basic military training, possibly the first term of OCS, and then they get disrupted for medical school. And then when they come back, they typically complete OCS with a special program and then practice as doctors for the remainder of their national service. So that meets an operational need. So that is very much aligned with what national service requires.
So again, there's a reason for that.
Yes.
Whether you agree with it or not, it's a totally different matter,
yes,
but there's a reason for it. We've been talking about making the criteria clearer, but should there be an overhaul of the criteria, considering how members of the public feel about this issue?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there needs to be a fundamental overhaul. I think it's there. I think, again, let's not forget, people talk about sports as a great unifying thing, right? I think, begrudgingly, despite its little bumps every now and then, NS also is a great unifying factor. That's without a doubt. If you see the reactions on one side of the spectrum, it's quite clear that people feel very strongly about NS, and that's a good thing. So I don't think you need a very clear overhaul. I think you just need to probably, in my mind, tweak it a little bit so that there is far greater public awareness. The problem is, yes, there's only been 3 people in the last 15 years, people say, but precisely because of that, maybe then the criteria isn't very clear. So, I mean, I went online, I looked at that, all the deferments and all that. Firstly, I think there's some confusion over what's disruption, what's a short-term deferment, what's a long-term deferment.
Yeah.
There's already some sort of, people are conflating all these issues. Then, as you go online, as I say, there isn't as much clarity. If you really want to, as I say, go back and check, what should I do for my child who's 10 years old, who's looking great at football, what should I do? There isn't that much. So maybe that needs to be looked at, but I don't think you need an overhaul per se.
Vikram?
Football is a popular sport, right? It's probably the most popular sport here. And so, you know, everyone feels that, you know, special exceptions should be made for football. You may not have to reach the same level as other sports, right?
But precisely because of what you just said,
yes,
maybe there should be a rethink of the criteria.
But you see, but I think the important thing about having criterion is they must be fairly applied, right? So it can't be that just because I'm in this sport, I don't have to reach the same level as if I was in some other sport. And I think, you know, when your principles start becoming too different, there are too many exceptions made, then I think the importance of national service gets diminished, right? Oh, this guy's a special case, that guy's a special case, why can't I be a special case as well, right? So I think the primary mindset of, you know, children and parents have to be, I have to serve. Right, it can't be, I'm looking to be the deferment, I'm looking to be the disruption, right? Because both deferments and disruptions are merely extensions of time, right? They're not an exemption from service. So if you are a sportsman looking for a long and successful sporting career, it may even make sense to get your national service done as early as possible, right? To get it out of the way so that in your prime years, you can actually play.
But a lot of people say it's about timing.
Yes.
Yeah? So that's the other way of looking at it. What you just described is the other way of looking at it. Get it over with so that during your peak years, you're out there. Then there are others who say, but this is a question of when the opportunity arises.
Correct.
So So if I wait another 2 years, I may not have this opportunity before me anymore.
So, and that is where I think the flexibility in the deferment criterion is helpful. So, for example, if I'm at my peak, say at a 17 or 18 year old, and the Olympic Games is coming, and this is my, you know, one moment in time, right? 4 years later, I may not be there anymore. Then you get the deferment, right? Which is exactly what they did for the swimmers. There's a big international competition coming up. For soccer, it could be Olympics, I guess, you know, probably World Cup if you're playing for the World Cup. And if you're at your prime right now and the World Cup is coming up, I think that is, you know, a good argument for deferment. I mean, of course, it's ultimately up to MINDEF because of the additional criteria whether you're going to win a medal. But certainly, I think, you know, these are the equivalent international competitions.
Of course, some people have said in this specific case, what is the equivalent of winning an Olympic medal? You know, and it's not Ben Davis's fault that we don't have a Singapore football team that can make it to a really elevated level or a global stage. So why hold it against this one individual who has the potential one day?
No, but you see, that is the problem with the open-ended deferments, right? And I think his father's statement, you know, almost made it very clear, right? It says, okay, if in 2 years he doesn't get a contract, he'll come back. So what he's saying is, if my son fails, then he'll come back and serve. But if he succeeds, then I don't know, you know, I'm not going to say what he's going to do. So, you know, and that is, of course, very unsatisfactory because it seems to be that, you know, if he succeeds, then he may never come back to serve, right? Okay. Which, of course, is going to be very unfair to everyone else who's made a commitment to serve.
Again, yeah, I wonder whether what constitutes a long-term deferment is also made clear to people, right, that if there's a long-term deferment, it cannot be open-ended. I wonder whether people know that as well. And therefore, whether MINDEF can say, yes, long-term deferments, as and when they rarely happen, can only be given and will only be given in 6 months timeframes, 1 month, 1 year timeframes, or 2 year timeframes. And that's the maximum. If everybody knew that as well, then people like Ben Davis and his father can't then post facto say, oh, but you know, I'm looking at it. Let's see what happens to his contract in 2 years as well. Then we'll see. So again, goes back to my point. I'm not sure whether it is made so clear that, long-term deferments must be very close-ended. And whether there are set timeframes in place.
I think it is. I mean, certainly for the swimmers, which are the only examples of the long-term ones, it is really to the next Olympics. So clear timeframe, right? Because after that, you may no longer be in your peak. So it's, you know, recognizing that sportsmen have that one opportunity to perform and, you know, they can do everything they can to get there.
Well, in the case of the Olympics, it was 4 years then. And I suppose the 4 years was because they do need to get from one Olympics to another. Yes. So who knows, maybe...
And they're given a disruption up to the next Olympics because it is believed that they will perform there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the reason it's given to them. And then, of course, if after that they think they've got one more Olympics in them, that's possible, but that's a long time, right? So, you know, but even then, there is a clear window.
Would they then be given a further deferment?
Well, it's case by case, right? I mean, most sportsmen, you only have one Olympics to perform, and after that, you're past your peak. So if you can peak or, you know, continue performing at a medal level at two Olympics, that is truly exceptional, right? These are the exceptions, not the rules.
Of course, some people online have suggested that this issue be opened to a public consultation since it's clearly a very emotive issue for so many Singaporeans. Mm. Should we now put this to a public vote of sorts through a consultation? I don't think anyone said referendum, but I saw a lot of, oh, you know, the government should consult the public on this. Jamie?
Well, I wouldn't say consultations. I would say, you know, I mean, put out the information in as much detail as possible, whether it's a reach kind of thing or whether it is a formal public consultations for draft legislation, whatever it is. I don't think we need to go down the super formal route, but I think it is clear that there isn't as much information as people would like. That's why there's so much confusion. Yeah, I think there just needs to be a discussion. And I think that's already happening, but it's happening in a slight vacuum of specific facts.
Vikram, the way ahead, according to you?
Well, I don't think government by referendum works, and I think, you know, especially you're not going to have consultation. Yes, I think policies should be discussed. I certainly don't think, you know, every case should be put to a public vote, otherwise it'll be complete chaos. But I think, you know, the principles are being discussed now. I think my own experience is that the government is always listening, and if policies need to be tweaked, it will be tweaked. But certainly, you know, debate, discussion is good, and I think it's happening.
Yeah, I think by and large, the NS system does serve overall the sporting needs. I mean, back in the day, I don't know whether who remembers out there, these SAFSA used to be a big thing, right? Where people, whether it was tennis, whether I suppose hockey or whether it's football, you actually, I mean, I know people who spend most of their NS playing tennis, for example, right? And they therefore went in with certain capabilities and came out basically intact. So the 2 years or 2.5 didn't do them much harm. Yes. So I just hope that all that same infrastructure is still exists within the system for athletes, like the fundies have shown, well, it hasn't hurt them really very much as well. So I think once you have that in place, people know that these routes are possible still, isn't that much of a hindrance, then I think we're in a good place.
I agree completely with Jamie on that, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much both for joining me today. MP and Chairperson of the Government Parliamentary Committee for Defence, Vikram Nair, and Chief Editor of Digital News at Channel News Asia, Jamie Ho. You've been listening to The Pulse. Thanks for staying with us.